Let the record show that Harry is not here. I think everybody else, and Art's not here. Public comment. Anybody from the public have any comment? I don't see anybody. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from February meeting.
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Purchasing approvals are going around. We'll go back to those later. Standing report, Steve.
Okay. I just have the report I share each month with the committee. And then I do have a request. But if you want to bring that in later or talk about now, it's through some computer replacement computers.
You might touch on it, just
it's kind of what we've been doing department wide. I guess it's been going all over the county, really, replacing these computers that are no longer.
Something's got, you got XP and you need to replace it.
Right. So it's kind of, we're up against it on this. So it'd be six computers.
Is that okay with you, sir?
Well, like you said, you got to update it because of the XP's got it screwed up.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm asking. Thanks for reminding us. I'm surprised you remembered that.
Oh, speaking of XP, there is a scam going around on the telephone right now in Illinois, and they call and say that your support for your Windows they need to check into it, and they want you to go to your computer and turn it on, and then they ask you some pertinent questions. And those three questions give them access to your computer. So please, if you get a call like that, hang up, because it's concentrated in Illinois right now.
I unplugged my home phone number, and it was the best thing I ever did.
But that's all I had.
Okay. Any questions for Steve? Judy?
Nothing really today. I do want to just comment very briefly, because I know others will probably talk about this, the heroin task force, that from the probation department's perspective, that we're very gratified that the sheriff and the state's attorney has enhanced or expanded this task force to include a lot of different entities, and we're very encouraged by it. In probation, over the last few years, we've had 33 deaths on our caseload of heroin. So these people need help. We as a department need help. So, we're very encouraged with this task force, and, we'll do everything from our perspective that we possibly can. So I just wanted to mention that today.
Maybe a good question for the sheriff, or maybe you. How many heroin addicts are there estimated to be in Madison County? Does anybody have any idea?
See, we only find them. That's one of the things that we're going to discuss on this task force as well. So you could actually go to the hospital on a heroin overdose, and that isn't reported to law enforcement. There are certain things that if you go to the hospital, come in there with a gunshot wound, whatever, that they have to notify. It seems like on the law enforcement side, the only time that we get involved in it is when somebody dies or during an investigation or to locate the heroin.
Mm-hmm. So you would think that that would be a mandatory reporting.
Right. And see, that's why we've got state legislators trying to get people like Durbin on the board. Take a look at that. Should that legislation be changed? Not that we necessarily want to go into the emergency room and start calling people on handcuffs on a heroin overdose, but it'd be nice to get a grip on what you just asked. How many people are out there that are involved?
Well, and not necessarily being arrested, but at least get it reported, and maybe by chance they'll tip you who their supplier is.
Right. Or see that they get the ongoing treatment, so that the next time that it happens, they don't die. You know, we've got the chairman of the county board. We want to get Dunston involved in this as well, because one of the alarming things about this that I found so far is that you could have an individual that realizes that they have a problem with a heroin addiction that wants to get help, but because he or she doesn't have insurance, doesn't have any money, they can't get it. Then you go to a treatment provider and say, I need help, and they say, well, if you don't have the resources, we can't help you. So then they, you know, so should government step in, and it's a financial issue, and try to help these people.
It's a monumental problem, isn't it? Okay. Any questions for Judy? Nobody from the judges?
He's coming right now.
Yes?
Right on.
We won't even let him sit down. Judge Heller, you have the floor.
I don't have much to tell you.
Judge.
The medical malpractice program, the only thing I had to report on, I got the report yesterday from my court administrator. It's going well. We had 11 mediations, four of them resulted in a complete settlement of the cases. One of them was a partial settlement, meaning some of the parties settled, some didn't, and six of them did not settle, so they're proceeding along the trial track, but that's close to 40% settlement rate, which is good. And that's about all I have new to tell you. Take any questions?
The news media still seems to be targeting Madison County as a helpful in our courts.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this? I thought we would clean this up.
Well, I could probably have a 6-hour seminar on that. But if you want a 60-second response, as I reported in the newspaper, my opinion, I think it's an educated opinion, is that's a travesty for anybody to say this is a hellhole. And no reputable news agency is saying that. That's purely generated by the Chamber of Commerce, which has a vested interest in reducing liability in court. So it's a, you know, as I've said many times, it's a very well-funded, lengthy, well-orchestrated propaganda campaign. So that's my opinion of it.
Mm-hmm. I would gracefully disagree with that. It is not orchestrated. It is by, obviously, businesses pay to have the investigation done. And right now, the reasoning that they're saying, or the last time I checked, and I know that we were changing our asbestos docket, is the fact that we're allowing asbestos dockets in here that aren't from the county, and that's one of that's the main reason why they're on the watch right now.
And that's absolutely wrong. Nothing is.
Well,
changed.
No, that's that. I'm telling her that's why the organization that does the investigation has them on there.
Well, first of all, there's no investigation.
I know some of the people that are on there. They do hell of a lot of work, and they do a hell of a lot of investigating. And you know, I don't work for them at all.
You're not a lobbyist.
I'm a lobbyist, but I don't work for the group that does this. I mean, that's
what group does it?
It's the Illinois Civil Justice League. Is the last time I checked, is
who does it? Funded by who?
I just told you that.
By who?
I said businesses pay to be involved in this organization. Then they have independent people go out and they do the investigation. Now, we may not like the way it is, but the fact of the matter is we have our heads buried in the sand because we say it's not true, which is fine. And I'm not so sure it's 100% right, but the businesses do. And when I'm up in Springfield and I'm talking to other people about businesses, they think Madison County has a huge problem when it comes to the court system. So
I'm not the one saying it. I, matter of fact, I defend Madison County when I'm up there. And I do tell them that, that it's not what it was 20 or 30 years. Again, I do defend, and that's where I take offense that you think I work with those people. I don't. I defend us. And I tell them what we've done and the changes that we have done. And I try to express to them, although I respect and I know the people that are involved in it, I said, I think, you know, the asbestos docket being the main reason why we're on there doesn't mean, to me, that's, with the judges that we have, it's a falsehood because of one docket that we are on the top five. And that's what I explained to the people. Because to me, what it was 30 years ago, people felt that the plaintiffs owned all the judges and they were able to get whatever they wanted. And now it's just the asbestos docket. The way the asbestos docket was handled, and it has since been changed, no other court system handled it that way, where they handed out dockets, and you got this spot, this spot, this spot, then you could go around and shop it to people that have asbestos case and say, well, I've got, because once the docket is set, that's when you start settling in the asbestos cases. That's why it's on there. Is the rest of it gets overlooked, the changes that have happened in Madison County get overlooked because of that.
First of all, Mike and I are friends.
Yeah, we don't.
And it's not, Mike and I have had long conversations
right
about this. I didn't mean to
personally attack him.
And I don't think he's personally attacking me.
No.
We probably have somewhat of a difference of opinion on this.
Right.
Somewhat agree to certain things.
Yes.
Number one, the docket setting system he just talked about is no longer in place.
Right. Right.
You understand that, right?
Yeah, and that's what I tell people.
Secondly, the complaint about cases from out of town being here, there's no question cases from out of town are here. The legislature right sets the venue rules. Any case that's filed here has, not any case, we can't stop cases from being filed here no matter where they come from. Okay, so first rule is, does it have proper venue? Cases have proper venue. If a company does business here, it can be sued here according to the legislature and the venue rules. The second hurdle is it a proper form convenience-wise? Some of these cases may not be a proper form convenience-wise if the court was asked to rule on that. Where the big fallacy is, and I've explained this, this has been recently reported by St. Louis Public Radio News, several other news organizations have called me. I've went through it. I've told them to call the defense lawyers who defend the cases here and ask them why motions to move these cases out of Madison County are not brought. The response is they want to be here. Companies that are sued here are not asking their attorneys to file motions to move the cases. So court hears the cases because both sides want to be here and want to litigate here. Now that's the reality. The fallacy is then those same companies that don't tell their lawyers to remove their cases in Madison County then fund different, I would call it propaganda, or different informational sources, I won't call it newspapers, to come out and say there's something wrong with this court system because these cases are from out of town and they're here. When in reality, they're not asking their lawyers to have a judge send the cases somewhere else. So that's the real answer to your question.
Okay. Alrighty.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. But as the judge said, him and I get along, and I respect everything he says. I mean, I really do. He's done a good job.
So somebody's making decisions that they want to be here. The court, we hear motions that are brought to us. If nobody brings a motion, Judge Stobbs is not going to proactively start dismissing cases because he thinks they should be dismissed if both parties want to litigate here. The legislature, the rules set by the Illinois legislature say that venue is proper. So,
and they've been trying to get that changed for years, but, you know.
And if the legislature ever said the rules change, and those cases can't be filed here, then those cases wouldn't be filed here. So it's, like I said, it could be a six-hour seminar, and people have, that have different opinions than me could potentially come in here and want to do a six-hour debate, and, you know, that would be, you know, that would be fine with me, too. Now,
he's got more important things to do right now.
I think that Judge Stiles is doing a great job. There's been two trials in the last 3 months that he is since he has been the judge on the asbestos docket. They've both been defense verdicts. Again, for somebody to say this is some kind of hellhole where the plaintiffs come in and they want to come from all over the country to file their cases here because all they got to do is walk into court and get $1 million. Isn't true. The cases that are tried here, I can't remember what year it was when there was a last verdict for the plaintiff. So,
well, it's not that they're tried here. It's that once the docket date is set, that's when businesses start settling. And unfortunately, the way the law is written, you have mom and pop shops that have nothing to do with asbestos that go out of business because somehow the person can document that they've either worked there or been in there for an extended amount of time, and you see a lot of people that are hurt that had nothing to do with this. And until the laws are changed, because I mean, I'm not blaming the judges or anybody, until the laws are changed, you have a lot of people that are wronged, not as much as the asbestos and as people with the, I can never say it,
mesothelioma.
Thank you. But you do have mom and dad shops that go out of business because, you know, I mean, if you have somebody that worked in a facility that had it raining down for 30 years and the person worked there, but when they were 18, they worked in a mom and pop shop, they can say, well, I worked here. Well, that's not exactly how it works, but then they can be drawn in because they can say they worked there. Well, they don't have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. And then they eventually have to go out of business because they don't have the money to defend themselves. And again, that's not the judge's fault. That's just the way the law is written. And to some extent, I can understand, you know, you got to bring everybody in because you don't want to sue, and then you find out that it was Jamie's fault and we didn't include him in the lawsuit. But there's got to be something to help these mom-and-pop shops that have nothing to do with this to allow them to be taken out. What it is, I don't know.
I was happy about that verdict in the last week or two I read about with the gasket company, and it was a verdict for the defendant. It looked pretty reasonable. And also I was happy to see Judge Mudge sent a case over to Missouri because someone was shopping for venue, an accident case, and the guy lived in Missouri, but lived in Illinois, but everyone involved was in Missouri. And he did the right thing and sent that over to Missouri. I was happy to read about that.
I think our judges do a great job. They follow the law. And when motions are brought before them, they go according to what the state of the law is today.
Don't ask any more questions. Because he said he was going to be brief.
About as brief as I can make it. Sorry to slow everybody down.
Okay, any other questions for Judge Hilla? Okay. Mark?
Well, what I handed out to you was report, Jacobson annual report done to the administrative office of the Supreme Court. And of course it's 13 pages long, and I spared you everything except the first two pages because I just wanted to make a point. If you look at the second page, what you notice is the automation expenses paid from the automation fund, $615,000. Paid from the county general fund, zero. On child support, paid from maintenance and child support collection fund, $150,000. Paid from the general fund, zero. Document storage, over $1 million, paid from the general fund, zero. And then when we look at page one, we actually see the clerk fees that we're taking in were over almost $6 million. a total revenue of over $8 million when the total operating expense for the office is right around five. And the reason I bring this up is this, I just want to tell you that our court system, the circuit clerk's office is part of, it's a profit center for the county. I mean, we're bringing in almost $3 million into the general fund over what we are taking out of it just to operate. Just wanted to kind of make that point. You should be aware of that we are a branch of the government that is not sucking up property tax money. In fact, we're giving property taxpayers, a little bit of relief because we're supplementing the general fund outside of that. In particular, when I talk about that automation fund, I want to tell you that this month was a milestone in the history of county, a shift in policy. Our automation staff moved from the courthouse, and they've actually moved into the administration building under the, they're going to actually be a division under the IT department. What that brings us now is of coming together of two separate networks into one. And I know that's nerdy, but I just want to tell you that it's a way of combining our resources, combining our skills, and getting more. Instead of two separate, one is more efficient. We're being very careful to do this in a way that it doesn't result in any kind of loss of service to the courthouse, to the judges. You'll notice that I have a purchase order in there, and it's actually a license for 250 seats of anti-pirate software, antivirus software. There's over 230 computers on the circuit clerk's network. That's kind of amazing, but when you start talking about in the courtrooms and the judges and well as so, we're looking at over long haul significant savings with an enhancement to the system. What that group moving over into the administration building is it allows us to take advantage of the new Cisco backbone that we have in the courthouse in our drive to merge with the the network. But it allows us to put in a phone center. Now, what I noticed among the people who are operating at the staff level is that they're trying to do input, they're trying to do their work, and they're constantly answering the phones. So we started a process of doing a phone survey. And what we found is 90% of our questions that are coming in over the phone, the interruptions, are for simple information that's available to anybody with access to our system. So we created a phone center. And there are four staff members that are dedicated to fielding the phone calls coming in and answering those 90% of the questions that are simple, like what day is my court day, or, you know, that, different things like that. So the other 10% get transferred to. So more efficient, better customer service, at the same time making our staff that are doing input able to sit there and concentrate and do their job. So we're moving along. I think in a very good way technologically, and I haven't tabled my plea for your help over with the building. I know some things are shaken out here, but I think with some changes over in the building, making it more helpful, we can also do some things to make it more efficient too. So, thank you.
So the 250 seats, you use the word nerdy, since I'm dorky and not nerdy. Is that computers? Is that what that's for? Okay.
Seats. Generally, you sit in front of the computer. So.
You got to spell. Sometimes you got to spell things out for me, Mark.
With license, they charge by the by the number of computers.
They call them seats. Okay. Thank you.
And these people that moved are still under your office?
Yeah. The supervisor is still reports to me, and they report to their supervisor. So they're still part of our group. It's just that they can walk across the hall and say, hey, what about this? They can help actually bring in some of the staff that we have for technicians that work on computer hardware situations. We brought them involved in some of the phone stuff. We brought them into some of the programming stuff between the sheriff's office and the state attorney's office. So it's kind of, again, it's nerdy, I'm sorry. It's got another thing. The sheriff talks about and the judge talks about tort reform, and I've got computer stuff, but I'm taking it very seriously by role to the taxpayers to try to do the job as efficiently as possible, and I'm trying to make you aware of the things that we're doing to bring that about.
Any questions for Mark?
If you ask any, I'm not getting another one. I'm not going to bait somebody a lot smarter than me.
Sheriff
again.
You have the monthly report from the program. The numbers are consistent with the past couple years or so. For the first 2 months, were 9 inmates over the same period last year. And you have a purchasing request from the sheriff's office to have a maintenance renewal for our lifetime fingerprint machine. The amount of a little bit over $6,000, and I've asked that to be approved.
The amount of people that are in the jail, the increase during the winter months, is it because people purposely try to get put in jail so they can be off the streets?
I haven't seen that. But based on the past winter, if I was homeless, yes, I would try to find a way to go to jail.
Yeah.
You don't get to smoke and drink and do heroin.
I would.
There's a strong.
Nobody else
could. Erase that from the. Yeah, tennis boys. He's having fun, people.
I wish I just ended up in an attack there.
I said he was just having fun, people. Slow down, don't believe what he said.
Any questions for Sheriff Hertz? State's attorney.
We've talked a little bit about heroin, but I put up our flyer for the task force public meeting today. So if everyone, if you're interested in coming, we'd love to have you there. Steve Nunn's office is going to do a presentation. The DEA's office is going to do a presentation. We're going to be doing a series of open meetings with different panelists. We've created a dedicated email address for the task force. If anyone comes up to you and says, hey, how can I help? It's MADCO Task Force at, I think we all have county emails at co.madison.il, so MADCO Task Force, that's all you need to know. And I wanted to ask, do you want to be on a mailing list about the meetings since you're on the committee? Basically, we'll just be emailing you, hey, we're going to have this meeting here. We've been compiling a list because since the sheriff and the state's attorney announced this, I've been receiving calls, I'm sure you've been receiving calls of people wanting to volunteer, both from Madison County, from St. Louis. Treatment providers, I had an addict who called up and said, hey, I've been clean for 20 months, I want to help. So you're getting a pretty wide array of people who are wanting to do something. I'd be happy to put y'all on the email list.
Okay,
and hopefully they can make one.
Yeah.
We also, I talked with, we have an SIU student coming who's interested in doing her own kind of documentary on the heroin problem in Madison County. So she's going to record it for us and hopefully upload it, so we'll have a link at some point, hopefully. And I'm hoping that she can also come and attend more of the meetings and record those, so people who can't make it can see that as well. It'll probably be on something, YouTube or something like that. So we hope you can make it. We have another take-back day. I know those of you who have been on the committee for a while get tired of us talking about it, but April 26th, it'll be myself, field reps from the Sheriff's Department, Steve Nunn's office, and we'll be collecting your meds, and I'll be continuing to talk about that each month, and we'll have more departments who are also having it as well, too. So we'll let people know. Bring their meds by.
Any questions? Okay, let's go back to the bills. I entertain a motion for the monthly bills.
So moved.
Have a second? Liz?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Mike? I say aye. And everybody signed this, I'm assuming? Okay, on these three purchases, we're going to lump them all together.
Should we do that? Okay. I just want to make sure. Motion to approve.
All
three of them?
Exactly. You want me to read them out first? Exactly. Or you,
well, we've all read them.
Okay. I just think for the record, do we need to write this one?
I have it down.
The I'll entertain a motion for the three purchasing request.
Moved for the second time.
Second. Liz, second.
Yes.
Gussie.
Yes.
And Liz and Jamie.
Yes.
I was going to call him a name. I can't.
You call me a name?
I was going to call you.
I got a sense of humor.
I was going to. No, not in front of the company.
Respectful people. Oh, now all of a sudden.
Okay. Did we go over no new business? Old business. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed.